This week on IceBNB Update, we examine the area rework of the Dig site and look deeper into the wiki integration. We also speculate on the big summer reveal before having some fun with numbers from the data livestream. Finally, we have a surprise pick of the week for Shane.
This is RSBNB Update, episode 725, recorded on Thursday, May 23rd, 2019. The Phantom Shane. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of RSBNB Update. We have a special episode today. Shane is off gallivanting all over the country or wherever he may be. I don't really know, but he's on vacation, so we are not to bother him. So I am filling in for Shane and our good friend Sirion from Clan Quest and our Informer writer. So welcome, Sirion.
I am glad to be here.
It feels like the inmates have taken over the asylum, right?
It does a bit, yeah. We have to sort of split the responsibility that Shane usually takes care of, and we're a bit out of his debt, so...
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, he makes it look easy after doing it for as long as he has, and once you get your hands on the wheel, you're like, oh... Okay, well, here we go.
I think we will come away with this episode with a lot of renewed respect for
maybe a little more appreciation.
Just a tiny bit.
But we have been blessed by Jagex of having no shortage of material to be talking about today, and it looks like our big update of the week was a graphical rework of the Dig site. So what do you think about that?
I mean, the graphical reworks are always sort of pretty, aren't they? Like, I started playing RuneScape when it was still RuneScape Classic back in the day. Like, I'm old school. So, you know, seeing how far the game has come, like, I really sort of enjoy looking at how pretty the game has become. So, yeah, that was a bit of a surprise update for me as well.
You know, I didn't expect this at all either. Like, this kind of came out of nowhere. I was really surprised. And it looks pretty good, I have to say. They always do a good job when they rework that, and I wish they had an unlimited budget to just do it all over.
because
it does look really nice.
Yeah, I mean, the only sort of it's starting to look a bit samey, but I feel that's a luxury problem as well, because like it used to all look samey. Like, back in the day, like it was all green with like the same walls and all that stuff. And now, I mean, it's starting to look a bit more like all the grass looks the same and a lot of the road looks the same and the textures are really, really reused. So in a way it feels like someone like that, I think, is one of my biggest concerns with the Dig site rework. Like it feels like the area has lost its identity a tiny bit. Like, the houses are the same as everywhere, and, like, the digging places are fairly tiny, so, like, we used to have this massive sort of spot on the map, and if you look at the world map right now, like, it doesn't really stand out anymore.
I see where you're coming from there, and I tend to agree when you're talking about, like, the size of the site, like the footprint that it used to take up and what it does now. I think some of the sameness is, do you think maybe that is due to just making the game more uniform in the way with the graphical reworks that have been done over the last few years? It's kind of bringing these assets and making them more uniform across, you know, the game world.
Yeah, I think so. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a problem because I kind of like it. Like, do you remember this time where they introduced these new the new tree types and they only had those south of Falador, and the rest of the world had the old tree types. Like, that was a very sort of jarring and unnatural thing. And now, like, with sort of bringing all these textures in line, it makes it feel more whole again. But, like, some places I think they did really well, and places like Falador, like, they did a graphical rework there, and that still has its own identity. But the dig site feels like everywhere else in the world, and that's sort of, I think they sort of lost out on that one somewhat.
Yeah, you know, I guess I would be on the fence with that, because I like the look of it. But I know that it has a, you know, the dig site is a special place for a lot of players, being the start of the desert treasure quest, and, you know, just so much lore begins with the dig site. And I can remember being just frustrated like crazy when I first started working there, trying, you know, that like early quest line of starting there, we have to actually dig. Yeah.
I think I might have started those quest lines back in the time where I still wasn't really that familiar with English. Like, I used to use a lot of quest guides in Dutch because my English was not good enough for me to understand, like, all the puzzles and hints, which is why I used to do everything with quest guides. And I think, like, the early desert quests were in that era. It's only, like, when I got to sort of the later, like, years that I really started trying to do the quests on my own.
That, you know, that makes perfect sense. But luckily for us, we didn't just get a graphical update. We got a myriad of tweaks, fixes, patches, I guess, all together to kind of make one amalgamation of a update, mm-hmm. I guess. Mm-hmm. So can you tell us about some of the extra touches they gave us this week?
Absolutely. I mean, looking at the patch notes, like, almost all of them were in this area, and I think it hadn't had a lot of love in the past, so I think it was about time that they, gave this a bit of love. The Globetrotter outfit now teleports you directly to a certain underground clue if you completed the dig site quest, not just to the winch. So I guess That's one there for your treasure trial hunters. So that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. The player character will no longer sink into the ground around the site. You know, I would have been surprised if they managed this, because they completely redid the geometry of the place. So, yeah.
Yeah.
The winches on the surface now properly match up with the relative positions of the caves below. The caves below weren't actually graphically reworked. They're still the same.
Okay.
Which is a bit sad, because, like, I came to the area and I was like, oh, I want to see what they did with, like the Temple of Zaros and, like, the whole place, like, you find under there. And it turns out to be a bit of a disappointment if you go down one of the winches. I'm trying to find one right now in game.
I'm guessing that's because, like, where the temple is, that was a newer section, right? They had added that more recently.
So you have the throne room. That's, like, really recent. But you also have the old one, where you first find out that Azanadra is a Majorat.
Oh, that's right. That's
There's another temple there. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've had trouble with that winch. Mm. Trying to find it.
But those caves are still the old style. So,
okay.
There's now a tool cupboard in the exam center to replace any tools students or workmen might have misplaced. So that's nice, I guess.
Okay.
The dig site quest has also been improved. Woohoo! Hint boxes have been added to the quest, in case you'd like to have those spelled out for you. Digging spots can now just be clicked on. No more use tool on soil with a tiny click zone. That's always
good.
Oh, yay! That's an accessibility fix in hiding there. Yeah.
Yeah.
All hand-ins are now handled via left-click interactions. No need to use item on NPC.
Okay.
Back in the day where you had to do that. The role of the curator has now been replaced by a new NPC, Seth Minas, to keep students on site throughout the quests. Cups of tea will now spawn in one of the buildings in this area. You can now carry multiple panning trays and fill them all up before having to check them.
That's cool.
If you try to pan with only full panning trays in your inventory, you will automatically check and empty one of your full panning trays first. Pickpocketing is now the default option for members on Varric Dig Site Workmen. So that's pay-to-play members, not Dig Site members. The components of the chemical compound used in the quest can now all be found in the caves to better make use of this area. Ammonium nitrate and nitroglycerin are now identified on pickup and do not have to be taken to archaeological expert Terry Balando, though he is still able to identify any unidentified items you might still have lying around.
Oh, that's cool.
Leather boots and gloves are no longer required to dig at archaeological grits.
Thank you.
You will still need the relevant qualification and tools. Examiners will now provide the appropriate tools for each qualification in an attempt to reduce theft on site. And finally, the dig site quest journal has been updated to reflect the changes made to the area. So yeah, all in all, I think, you know, a good bit of quality of life update, and a really nice new area. And it's a fairly early in the game as well, I think, as a quest, so it sort of fits with the idea of the early game experience, just brushing that up for the mobile release, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that these are nice. You know, these are the kind of fixes we like, the nice little fixes that help bring things in line, and you know, the desert, what's it, desert? Yeah, the desert quest just makes it, it's so iconic to make it a little bit, you know, flow better. I think it's great, and there's a lot of little changes. Mm-hmm. A little changes with that.
It's also like ever since they removed the fence, like this is right next door from one of the biggest hubs in the early game, which is Varrok. So, you know,
yes,
it was a bit of an eyesore, I guess, to have this right next to a place where a lot of players will spend time early in the game.
Yeah, that's totally true.
So, before we move on, there's one thing I want to rant about a bit.
Okay.
So, people that are looking at the YouTube version of this, they will see I'm standing right next to the stairs in the main building of the dig site. It's non-interactable. You can't go up the stairs.
That's weird.
Yeah. And I think that is sort of... There was this time where, like, people were complaining a lot about the fact that Jagex wasn't adding any examine texts to, like, objects. And that sort of, like, part of the RuneScape lore always used to be, like, these tiny little things, right? Like, the little, like, when you use a herring on a tree, like, the Easter eggs that come from that, and, like, the tiny little things. And, you know, every time they do an area rework, it feels like we lose some of that. And, like, in this area, it's the same thing. Like, if I hop, like... If I look at, like, the big building, like, the main building on a dig site, like, there are some things that are examinable, but, like, most of the things are not. Like, there's stuff on the table, like maps, I can't examine them. The stairs, I can examine them, and they will say for going up and down, like, except for you can't go up. You know, it feels like aesthetics are taking precedence over function in this case. Like, the area doesn't feel as rich anymore because, like, so much of it is now set pieces rather than a world you actually interact with. And, you know, I never made a big problem out of the examine text, but putting stairs in my face that look like I can go up them and then make them completely non-interactable, that sort of rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, I can see. I see where you're coming from on that. Examine text is not something that I've particularly used a lot in the past, but I could see how, a lorehound or someone like that would, really appreciate that. So I'm wondering, you think they'll come back through and maybe add some examine text to things later?
I doubt it. Especially like an area like the dig site, I don't think it's important enough to give it like that layer of depth. And I think it's sort of a good enough approach and move on to the next area. And I guess that's sort of like what would you rather have Jagex do? Like that they go through all these areas and add more stuff, or that they pick like a new area and make it look pretty and uniform?
You know, I mean, for me, I like, this is going to sound weird, but I actually like when they do the visual stuff, just because I don't, like I said, I've never interacted much with Examine. It pops up in the chat box. That's just hard to deal with. And I like to look at some, I like it like being right there, but I didn't take into account those stairs. That is not, that probably needs to go or something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know what you do with that.
Yeah. My thinking was that Jagex was like, okay, we have an exam center. That's like half of examine. So we only need to add some interactable stuff and we're done. But no,
I guess that, I can see where they're coming from on that anyway.
Yeah.
But
it's probably a small group of people that actually do check all these examine texts. But when looking at like things like big stairs, it's a bit lazy to make it not interactable. Like a lot of houses in Falador and Varric have an upstairs and there's nothing there. Like it feels like a small effort to add an upper story to this, especially since they don't really seem to be bothered by adding examine tests to stuff anyway.
Yeah, you're totally right about that. It probably wouldn't have taken much, and it wouldn't. I don't know why that wouldn't have been done. When you're making things more uniform to begin with, that seems it does seem like an odd choice. Yeah.
So that's, I think, my biggest complaint about this update. But other than that, I think something to be excited about. There's like this. The broken home house in the distance, and it's all coming together. I'm looking forward to the time where some of the members areas are getting reworked, because we all know how much Ardoin and Sir's Village and such are in need of a little touch up.
Oh, very, very much. Yes. So I totally agree with that. But luckily, that wasn't all we got this week, was it?
We got a lot more.
So, this next one, I'm like really kind of stoked about it. But we got some wiki integration to the game. Like, you can actually search from within the game, and it'll bring up a window in the wiki page. Wow! Like, but what I'm curious about is what. What is your critique of this? Because I feel like functionally it works pretty well for me, but I don't know what a pro would come down on this at.
A pro? I don't know. A pro in what?
Well, I mean, you have expertise, like, and you're usually pretty hard when it comes to interfaces and the way things, work and stuff like that. I think this has worked for, let me back up, and probably should tell people how to make this work, right? So if you want to search something on the wiki game, it's literally just your chat box / wiki, then the search term, hit enter, and it will pull up a browser page with that wiki article in it. And that's literally it. That's everything. So the next time someone in your clan asked a stupid question, you say / wiki. There's your answer.
Mm-hmm.
It happens.
It's not really an interface thing. I think the question mostly, like, the only critique I would have around this from, like, an interface side of things is the discoverability. Like, how would people ever find out about this, like, a few months down the line when it's no longer being actively promoted? Like, how would you find out you can use this command? It feels like the wiki feels a bit like a power user command. Like, command line commands in the first place are usually a bit of a power user thing. So that's my only concern. But, you know, as a feature itself, I think it's as straightforward as it gets. At least they haven't added, like, a new weird toggle setting menu we have to go. Like, they went for a simple solution, and for once I can amend them for that.
Well, that's good. I definitely, yeah, I have the same concern about how will people down the road know that this is a function. And the only thing that I can think of is, you know, the wiki is just, it's used so much by players that just pure word of mouth and playing, I think, will probably keep that alive, keep that going, so that new people will know that, as long as they're interacting with some kind of community, whether that's a clan or friends or whatever. Now, if you just showed up and you didn't know anything and you didn't know anybody, yeah, that's kind of a tough one. You would probably not know about this. But then again, you probably wouldn't know there was such a thing as a wiki anyway. So
that's that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, there's a few things like every week I do Meg in player and ports, and I always pull up, like, the wiki article with that. And, you know, I have it saved, like, pretty much in my browser. I can type ME and, like, my history will tell me exactly where to go. But, like, it takes, like, one step out of that process, so it's kind of nice to have it. It's a bit of a shortcut.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to use it a lot more. You know, there are times when I won't look something up just because I don't want to take that couple seconds really to even do it. Mm-hmm. And you don't like to get out of your game, you know? Like, I know RuneScape is this, like, quasi-AFK-ish. Sometimes I'm playing really hard. Sometimes I'm watching a movie type of thing. But I don't particularly like to have to, you know, tab into a bunch of stuff if I don't have to. Mm-hmm. So this is cool that it's just automatic. You know, pop it up for me and...
The only sort of concern I would have around this is that, like, it makes the RuneScape wiki really legit, right? It is suddenly part of the game. And despite their partnership with Jagex, the RS wiki is still community content, right? Like, there is absolutely... I would say there's almost even an attack vector on this particular thing. Like, you could go into the wiki, you could go to, like, one of the pages, plug in, like, a malicious script, and then tell people in game, hey, type /wiki/virus and, you know, do bad stuff. Like, that, I'm not saying that's gonna happen, but it can happen. And, you know, that's like, that's a whole can of worms we've now opened up. I'm not even talking about, like, malicious stuff. I'm also talking about stuff that wouldn't get past the PG rating that RuneScape is generally considered. Like, there's a lot of things you can do with this, and I am sort of wondering, like, what's going to happen if RuneScape wiki management does something stupid? Like, is Jared's going to pull this out of the game? Like, what are the agreements that have been made between the two parties there? That's sort of what concerns me, because Jagex doesn't control the wiki, and yet they're putting something really tightly into the game that links to it.
Yeah, well, if people hadn't thought of it, they have now, so thank you, Therion. And kids, please don't do what he just outlined, because that would be bad. I'm guessing they would have to have some kind of an oversight agreement, right? I mean, there's no way that Jagex would just give that up, right? And allow players to access it from their game? Like, they got to have some kind of an oversight. Like, I wonder if you go in to make, like, an edit, if it's held for some kind of review before it goes into effect or something. Like, I don't know. Is that something that they could do?
I guess they could, but like that feels that sort of feels like it goes against the whole idea of a wiki where you should be able to just go in and edit it. Like, it's crowdsourced. That's the whole philosophy behind it.
Right. Well, I mean, within the crowd, you're going to have a couple of idiots. So, I mean, you know, it just... It could happen.
You say that, they probably have a solution for it, but, like, even big... Like, Wikipedia got trolled, and Google picked up data from Wikipedia and showed it in a search engine for a few days. Like, even these big parties are not... immune to this level of trolling if you know what you're doing. And, you know, all respect for Jagex and the RuneScape Wiki staff, but they're not Wikipedia and Google. Like, they're not that level of expertise in these things. So, you know, I think it's a genuine concern. And...
Well, it is now.
I've given people the idea. It's my fault, yeah. You know, and that's... Maybe I'm trying to find too much into it, but, you know, it would have made me a lot happier if they had sort of given some attention to, hey, we really thought this through, and right now... It feels a bit too much like, hey, we thought this wasn't, like, one JMOD thought this wasn't awesome feature and implemented it and it got released, rather than, like, somebody properly reviewing this, like, how can this be abused? How can this be problematic? You know, people are able to do bad things with something as innocent as seeds that give you a random color of flowers. That costs trouble. This is much less innocent than that. So, you know, updates like these without any reassurance, I find them scary.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up an important point. You bring up a very important point. I would, like I said, I would hope that they'd have some kind of oversight, but even though that does kind of dampen the... the idea of a wiki, but I went into this thinking this was awesome, and now I don't really know anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I still think it's a great addition to the game, right? Like, don't get me wrong. I never liked the level of preference that Jagex gives to some fan sites and not others. But that has been a problem for a long time, and, you know, I think it would be petty of me to understate how important the RuneScape Wiki has become to many people. Like, it is the source of truth, and Jagex is not the first, like, Stellaris, for example, you can go, there's a button, and it opens an in-game browser with the Stellaris Wiki. Like, RuneScape is not the first game who does integration like this. So, you know, I'll leave those accusations aside. In general, I think it's a good idea. I have the feeling that this is a matter of time until this is going to be temporarily or even permanently disabled because it is an abuse factor.
It could be, but yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying. It goes all the way back to what the Civpedia, even. Like, I remember using that on Civilization games. Uh-huh. We always, you know, just automatically open that up. So, well, we'll have to wait and see. Hopefully it will continue to be a great resource, and hopefully nobody will mess that up. But if they do, that's why we can't have nice things. So, there you go.
Yeah. That's a good way of summarizing it.
Yeah. Well, if you are a treasure hunter person, we also have double daily keys this week, is it? I think it lasts.
June 2nd,
June the 2nd, yes. Okay. So the thing with this is you're going to get double your daily keys, but you will not get double like from buying keys or like if you earn a key in game. So this only applies to your daily keys. So do with that what you will. I know some of our listeners do not engage in Treasure Hunter, but it's a news post, so it's news, and yep, you get double. So have fun with that one. Moving on, we have a update to Vic the Trader, and this is the portable Vic the Trader. He will now be able to sell you the Elite Woodcutting outfit. That wasn't in there before, and they've added that. And because of that, they've also extended the period that you can get a portable Vic until June 2nd. So if you haven't gotten it yet and you want to get it, get it. And I've been predicting all along that this is probably going to be a pretty big item. I guess a lot of people are going to have these in their banks, but we'll have to see. Mm-hmm. And we also got word that the Elite Skilling outfits there's two more that will be coming into the game in about a month, and that will be the Elite Woodcutting outfit and the Elite Hunter outfit, but that is coming with the Hunter modernization, so I wouldn't wait around for that if I was you. But suit yourself. If you like getting slow XP, you can do that. But mm-hmm. I would not wait. I would go. Go, go, go. And then we had a video this week, Sirion. Did you get to see the summer update reveal?
Yes, I did get to see the summer update.
Wow. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, so WTF. Mm-hmm.
So what do you think?
I wasn't expecting it to be tied to Desperate Times, but it looks like it's gonna be.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people are talking about Fossil Island, but
I mean,
I'm not convinced that that's what they're doing. I mean,
tell me how this is not Fossil Island with a different name.
Yes.
How is
it
not? That's
it. Yes. No, you're right. It's a different name. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm getting. No, it is, because it's got that connection with the dig site, and they got, you know, extra money and, you know, all this stuff. But
I mean, the ship that arrives has the Varrok emblem on it, so, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, but they're not, they haven't said Fossil Island. I don't think they're going to call it that. I'm not sure. I don't know.
I don't think so. But I think that it is the idea of Fossil Island, but they didn't want to call it Fossil Island. That's sort of what I'm thinking.
Well, and I'm thinking that's because they said that they're not going to bring stuff from old school over to RS3. Well, you should if it's good. But mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know if this is good or not. I don't play mm-hmm. OS, so I don't know. But definitely intriguing. And I have more questions after watching the video than I did before.
But we know where it's going to be, though. Because
there's
a big cloud. Like when the Monday update came out, there's a big cloud on the world map on the sea now, which was within seconds dubbed Vape Island in the clan chat.
Sweet.
So that was people were like, oh, is it Fossil Island? Fossil Island? And then this announcement came earlier this week, pretty quickly. And that seems to be related, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess we'll wait and see, but I'm surprised. It's not exactly where I thought we were going with the summer update, so.
No.
This will be cool.
We know absolutely nothing about it, except for that there will be dinosaurs, according to the stream. It will be related to Desperate Times, since that is sort of what they are linking from the news post. You know, it makes me think. Remember that at the start of the quest, and at this point, I guess I should say spoiler warning for Desperate Times, if you haven't done it yet. Pause the podcast, go do the quest, we'll be here when you're done. So, yeah. the quest starts out by you having to make a garden, right? This is lush and nice, maybe. So I'm sort
True.
of thinking that this hooks into that, but other than that, I don't really know. I don't really know what to expect either. Like, I know a lot of people have been wanting Fossil Island for a long time, and that is literally one of the least interesting updates I've ever heard of. Like, it
You
just.
know, yeah, I agree with you there. I've never been really that excited about it. I'm trying to remember back. It seems like, and this has been a while ago, probably a few years at this point. I want to say that Mod Osborne had talked about some kind of Fossil Island being like a Shattered Worlds for skilling, something that would be. Do you remember that? Like, do you vaguely remember that?
I remember that they wanted to do something like that, but
Yeah.
let's be honest, like, isn't that roughly what the Ark has turned out to become? Like,
Yes. So,
and
do
then
we
there's
need another
also,
one?
and then on Mass Gap, you have Nami Forest, which is also sort of like, it's randomized
Yes.
levels where skilling is a big thing. Like, it exists in the game, and it's, well, the Ark is somewhat popular because of its good XP rates, and I guess. But, you know, do people really. Like, I would love to have a proper Shattered Worlds-like thing for skilling. If that's what this is going to be, then great. But on the other hand, you know, Shattered Worlds didn't really turn out to be anything interesting. Like all the promises they made about it that made it sound interesting, like weekly challenges or
Yeah.
doing it like two people side by side, make it a race, like make it streamable content. None of that happened. Like, it's just.
Yeah.
It's worse than Dungeoneering, let's be honest. It's a minigame.
I'd rather do Shattered Worlds than Dungeoneering myself, but you know, to each his own. I see what you're saying. I'm just really curious at this point because I don't think we're looking at like a world event type of a thing. I don't know. We're gonna get an island. We're going there. We don't know what we're gonna find. Maybe it'll be Godzilla. Maybe it'll be King Kong. I don't know. Maybe it'll be nothing.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be something? If there wasn't nothing there. That would
It's
be
just
great.
like, yeah, like, I've always been critical of Jagex doing this sort of vague hyping up, right? I've been complaining about them
Yeah.
saying, oh, we have a big summer update coming, because everybody is going to think it's what their wish is. Like, everybody's going to have optimistic expectations for
Yeah,
that,
you'd.
and Jagex can never make those come true. And this is the same thing. People are going to be like, oh, it's going to be Fossil Island. Oh, it's going to be this thing that Mott Osborne said, like, those years ago. Oh, it's going to be like dinosaur killing. Or, like, people are going to make up, like, all kinds of cool stuff. And maybe some of those cool things will come up, but, like, the vast majority will not. People will be disappointed. It will be dead content in a week.
Yeah, no, you're right. They're setting themselves up for a Game of Thrones situation here if they don't watch it.
Wow.
Yeah, I did it, but you know.
I mean, in a way, yeah, I agree though. Like, I think it's the exact same thing. And it makes me wonder why they announced this at this time. Like, it's not. In a way, it feels like they did this to sort of fill a gap in excitement because they needed a update because patch weeks are just not that interesting.
Holy crap! I think I got something.
Oh.
'Cause when do these summer updates usually hit? It's usually around July, right? What are we expecting in about a month?
Vinfast enhancement.
Hunter modernization. Part of Hunter modernization is
Some
going to
new.
be a new hunter technique of a PVM style hunter.
I
I
see.
wonder if that is introduced through this.
That could be it. You're absolutely right. That makes a lot of sense. Hunting dinosaurs or something like that. You could be right. You could be very right.
Then again, I could just be speculating. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it just dawned on me like in
Yeah.
the moment
That makes a lot of sense, actually. Yeah.
there. We'll see.
I think part of them hyping this up this early is because, like, in the next month they're gonna announce that big summer package where you get like so many months of membership and a bunch of extra stuff. It's like their discount loyalty thing, right? They have it
Yeah.
every year. That's gonna come up, and they need people to be hyped for the upcoming updates to buy that. And I think that's what they're sort of trying to go for. But one has to think, is that really the best long-term solution to keep people happy?
Well, it's definitely a balancing act, you know, and there's been countless examples of bad things that can happen from too much hype. So, but yeah, I mean,
Metaphors.
but which happened to be in the summer,
Exactly,
right?
yeah.
Yeah.
Is it now exactly 2 years ago? Is it 3 already?
I try not to think about it. I think too, but I don't know. So yeah, that's the possible summer
2 years.
update that we don't know about.
Almost 2 years on the dot.
Yeah.
Yeah, June 5th, 2017.
Yeah, well, I guess we just gotta wait and see, and we'll probably get a little bit more on the month ahead in June, I would guess. But hey, when that comes out, we'll cover it, right? So
We'll cover it.
yeah,
Land Out of
he
Time is interesting as well. It makes me think that the
yeah
Nido is going to be involved.
yeah like
It
he's
might
gonna mess yeah
just be like because it looks really sort of dinosaurs and archaic, like it might just be an ancient thing that just kept being ancient because it doesn't exist in our timeline. Like things like that, like yeah. Like let's be honest, it is likely to come with a bunch of lore content given how integrated it is with Desperate Times, and that is something that we can almost take for granted and at least be excited about.
That's true. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, I mean, it might even further that story. So, I mean, we might find out where Carapac went. Or maybe he stopped here first. Maybe that's part of how this happened. I mean, who knows? So, yeah, that'll be
Which is
exciting.
gonna be interesting because it combines a real world chronological timeline with an in-game timeline. Like the island is still gonna be there even if you haven't finished the quest. So yeah,
That's.
let's not dig into that. That's
Yeah, we'll leave that one for another day,
that's a topic for another time. Yeah.
Yeah. So we also had a live stream on this one was a Friday stream. Don't usually do Friday streams, but we got to find out some data from Mod Shawnee, some cool, interesting little tidbits here, and we found out a little bit more about the bank rework now. So there's a lot of stuff that was covered, so I just pulled out, you know, what I thought everyone would find interesting, or most interesting. And so the most common skilling pet so far in 2019 is the mining pet. Maybe because of something to do with the mining and smithing rework, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. And then that is followed by constitution. That makes sense. Anytime you're doing combat, you're getting constitution. And Shane will like this. Followed by farming. So farming is the third most
That
common
must be a
pet now.
play-around farms
You
thing,
know it,
right?
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got my farming pet from the PLF on my alt before I got it on my main. So, yeah,
Salty.
it's yeah. And then I thought this was kind of interesting, but I don't know what I mean. I don't really know what implications this is, but 1.3 trillion GP has been traded from the month of March to April. It's a lot of GP. I mean, just going through the GE, like this isn't account like personal trades and all that. Like this is just the GE stuff. Like
Convert that
it's
into
a lot of gold.
bonds. Convert that into bonds, and convert that into real world value. That's how much
Ooh.
actual real world money is going to the economy in RuneScape every few months, I guess.
Yeah, it's
crazy. We should put like the size of the RuneScape economy through bonds, like in the list of like actual world countries, and see where it ranks up.
Oh, that would be cool. We should do that sometime. Yeah. That would be cool. Another little quirky stat we have here is someone has 5 billion XP and is not maxed because they have 98 Hunter.
Hunter clearly is a very popular skill.
Better get that in there, buddy. That's all I'm saying. Better get that in there. If you don't like it now, you really gonna like it later.
I mean, 98 and 99, you can get that in an hour. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah, they must really just not like Hunter. I mean, they've been getting Hunter with the Big Chim and Lance all this time, apparently. So, yeah, you know, I don't know.
But, better make use of those double keys this week, then.
Yeah, right? okay, so moving on, the person that had like the most Slayer tasks so far this year by one person has been 1,080. Wow, that's a lot of tasks. Like, that is a lot of tasks. I don't know how many that is a day, but a lot.
Like, we roughly hold, like, yeah, like about 10, I'd say, 10-ish.
Yeah, so that's... that's cranking.
I don't think I've even done 10 since the start of the year. That's how much I hate Slayer. Like, I don't get it.
See, I like Slayer, but I haven't even. I mean, and I'm even in the skill of month this month, and I haven't done anything close to that. That's crazy. And then we have some highlights from like some of the, you know, just the people that have done the most. Amount of task for a given monster. We have 63 Ripper Demons. It's the top for that one. They must really be into pain. I don't know. to each his own. 271 Abbey Demon tasks so far. I feel like that could be beat. But
yeah, Abbey
you'd
Demons
have to really,
great.
You'd have to really try.
Like the way I got 99 Slayer was doing for a really long time, forcing myself an Abbey Demon task using the mask, like,
yep.
Every day, and do one yep. day. That was what I did, and I still suck at it, to be honest.
Yeah. So they're obviously they'd have to force a task every day. They have it on preferred, and they must have a ton of Slayer points to cancel tasks to be getting that many Abbey ones.
VIP coupons will help as well.
Oh yeah. That helps. And then we had 232 Edemu. I don't particularly like to do Edemu all that much. I
don't
mean,
have
115
Dungeoneering, so I can't speak.
Yeah,
to that.
232 is a lot of tasks.
Yeah,
because they're not a particularly quick task like Abbey Demons are.
That's more than one task a day on average.
Yeah. So, wow. The dedication. I will say it's, you know, hats off to you for that. The most cow task was 7. So someone actually did do 7 tasks of cows.
That can't
I
be
guess
beat.
They were hungry.
That
I,
can't
I
be
don't
beat.
Know.
That can be
yeah,
beat.
That can be me. Ooh, this one. I love this one. 109 gemstone dragon tasks. Dude, those tasks take forever.
Wow. Respect. That's like one a day on average.
But the XP, dude. Oh my god. They're like just dripping in Slayer XP. Wow. Yeah, that's that is cool. And then we started getting into the fun stuff. Or at least this is what I think is really fun. The dry streaks. So the number one dry streak is someone is 198 mil XP dry on the thieving bet.
Wow.
That's a lot of XP to not get to bed. And that's followed up with 186 Hunter. I hope you get that pet soon. And then 194 Dungeoneering. Could you imagine? 194 million no Dungeoneering pet.
Oh. I can't imagine 149 mil Dungeoneering XP, let alone that without a pet.
Yeah, that had to hurt. has to hurt. And then this is the worst one, though, in my opinion. 185 dry on runecrafting.
Ouch.
How long would you spend in the rune span? Oh. So, yeah. those I always find fun because it's funny to laugh at other people's pain.
Are you going for scaling pets specifically?
I haven't for a while, just because I tend to get them when I do competitions. And I haven't been competing very much lately, so no, I don't really have my eye on any at the moment, but yeah, I love to get them when they come.
Yeah, I don't really go for them either. I just, like, it's a nice little surprise. The point is, like, the skills where I would actually like an awesome pet don't have awesome pets. Like, I'm a big fan of fire making. Don't ask me why, but the pet is so lame.
Yeah.
It's a tree that's on fire. Like, the char quest has more awesome pets as a reward, let's be honest. So... Yeah. I didn't really have my eye on any of them, though. Ralph, the thieving one, I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind getting Ralph. That would be cool. I always thought the monkey from Agility would be cool too. Mm. But I see stats like this, and then I just go, "Oh, I don't want that to happen to me." No. Oh my lord!
No,
like.
Guess why I'm not going for Master Quest Cape.
yeah. Well, next up, we have something that people really get into this, but it's the boss kill times. So we'll see if our in-house PVM expert has set any of these. I don't know. I haven't asked him, but he knows what he'll have to try to get. The fastest ambassador kill was 64 seconds. That's pretty quick. I mean, obviously, and these are groups, so this, I don't have solo times. But 64 seconds on ambassador.
I mean, I haven't done the second and third elite dungeons because I did the first dungeon solo, and the final boss took me an hour, which might be the slowest ever kill time for that boss. And after that, I was pretty salty, so.
Well, I would say you would have a right to be. I don't think I could even go that long. So next we have, Yakumaru with 3 minutes and 14 seconds.
That is pretty fast.
That's pretty fast, yeah. People have definitely gotten that one down, but it is no comparison to Rots here with 4.8 seconds.
They must be stacking up some damage or do some trick there, right?
I know Rots is quick, but I never knew it was that quick. Like, that is nuts. But not to be outdone, two people have one ticked Gwerdor.
Oh my gosh.
One tick. How? Like, yeah. I guess there are videos on YouTube if you guys want to look it up, but yeah, that is nuts.
It is.
We have 3 minutes and 24 seconds for Telos. That seems pretty quick too. I've never made it all the way through that one, so I have done this though. QBD. 36 seconds. My usual times are out 2 minutes, so I don't know what they're doing. But wow. That is quick. And last but not least, of course, Solak. 7 minutes and 18 seconds.
Wow, so, that's a long boss.
That's a long boss, yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's obviously the, you know, the best of the best. That's the best time, so...
The stream just came up to Seiryu the Azure Serpent, which is the final boss, if I remember correctly, of Elite Dungeon 1, and the fastest kill is 84 seconds, and now I'm even saltier. Like, how can you do that fast?
That's, yeah, I don't even know how you stay alive in that. I couldn't even live through it, so I don't know.
Avoiding the damage wasn't... It was story mode, so...
Okay. Even then, I don't know if I could make it. Probably wouldn't, but... so that's, you know, that's the highlights from the data stream. These are always fun, aren't they?
Like, I love the data streams. I just don't get around to watching them, but, like, just listening to, like, some of these highlights, it's great. Like, I almost wish that some of these became leaderboards and actually publicly visible.
That would be so fun, wouldn't it?
Because people would really try to go for faster scales. And, you know, I'd love to see the tricks people came up with. I'm not a PVMer myself, but, you know, I can appreciate some of the crazy stuff they pull off.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely respect what they do, just like any, you know, any athlete. Like, I'm not a golfer. I can still respect the guys, you know, out there doing the Masters, like, type of thing. But, you know, yeah, so definitely that would be cool if they could make that into some kind of leaderboard eventually. That would be cool. And he did say that Machani is wanting to be able to release this as a spreadsheet so that people can look and compare. Wow. And that'd be pretty cool.
Wow.
I know we would probably have some fun with it here at RSBNB.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. So
wait until Shane gets his hands on that. Oh my goodness.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So then they went into talking about the bank rework. And we didn't get a ton, but I think we got enough to you know, I think if you're going to be hyped, this is the hype right here. They're looking at evening out some of the bank spaces, so we'll probably get more. But the reason is, it's like right now it's like 86 places for free to play, and like 463 or something weird like that for members. And like 468. There you go. And so they want to like just round that off. So we'll get some extra. So that's great. That's good. There's still... Oh, the meta searching is not going to be part of the rework. I know you were looking forward to that, weren't you, Sirion, that they were going to incorporate that?
Yeah, I think so. I definitely... Yeah.
Yeah.
Think it would be
I and, you know, maybe we'll get that eventually. I don't... You know, I don't think it's essential for what we want out of this, but let's be honest, sometimes the search leaves a little to be desired. You know, so maybe someday we'll get that, but it's not going to be in this in this release.
I mean, I to be honest, whatever gets this update out of the door, I'm happy.
Right. Yes. Yes. There's still working on the interface, but looking at it from stream, it looked pretty good to me. It looked pretty clean, but I'm not a big interface critic, so as long as it's like usable for me, I'm usually pretty happy with it. Do you have any feelings on it, Sirion?
It's a very complex interface that sort of like that is always a bit of a red flag. Like, if you look like at the it's almost feels cleaner than what it is now, but in the top right you have all these filters and buttons, and it's like there's 12 buttons. Like, what do they even do? Like, it's hard to say, and that's I feel there's just a bit too much to it, and I think if they really wanted to go for for a really good bank interface, they should start removing things, and they should see with how little they can still get away with, and then you have a perfect interface. Like that's actually it's a quote, and I don't know. I think it's like an engineer or someone who said it, which says, "Perfection is not achieved when there's nothing left to add. Perfection is achieved when there's nothing to take away." And that's a philosophy that I wish they would apply here. I'm also always a bit skeptical about the whole placeholder thing. Like,
They
I
looked like
wish,
they were working.
yeah, I like the idea of placeholders. I don't like the implementation of using a toggle that determines whether a placeholder is left behind or not. Like,
Well, and you know that, and it's even worse than that because in some situations it's going to ignore that toggle altogether. So when it comes to your presets, it ignores that toggle altogether, and it makes placeholders. So I don't understand
right,
exactly, you know, I
like
why that
imagine
is.
like withdrawing a bunch of stuff like from like you do like select to search, right, and you search for like a certain thing and you forget to turn on the placeholder stuff and you withdraw all your, I don't know, fire runes, and suddenly you're like, damn, there's no placeholder anymore, where do I put this thing back, and you lose it. Like, it's so prone to human error that, like, what I would like to do, what the implementation I would like, is that I could, like, go to my bank and sort of lock certain items in place. And when I withdraw that item, it always leaves a placeholder. And when I withdraw anything else, it doesn't. And that way, like, certain things I would lock, other things I would not. And I would never have to
Oh,
worry about the placeholder.
and so you're talking like locking individual items,
Yeah, in the bank.
essentially.
So, like, for example, I always want my runes to be like locked, but I don't really care about the order in which my magic armor is in that tab, for example. So I would never lock that.
Right. I got what you're saying. Yeah, I mean I would be fine with that kind of an implementation. And I mean right now I'm cool with what they have just because I just want some kind of, I'm just so tired of my stuff messed up. I finally just had to let it go. And because every time I would use a preset, it would just throw stuff everywhere. And so I finally just got to the point where I'm like, okay, I'm just going to let it go. I'm just going to use presets and search function because I can't do anything else. I can't stop this from happening. So my bank looks like worse than Ma Chani's. And his was a mess if you saw it on stream.
I mean, I just feel that like the placeholders are, I think they're pretty great. I just they don't didn't see, really seem to have thought about what is the primary use case for placeholders. For me, it is a certain set of items that I always want to have in the same place. It's not even like most of my items I don't care, right? It's like it's a bunch of like equipment and skilling outfits that I want to make sure that they stay together, and that's really it, right? But that doesn't, and that seems to be the use case that everybody has, right? They just want to keep certain items in certain places, and yet they come up with a solution that does something. I'm not even sure what problem they're trying to solve. Like, seems like they're solving a different problem, and that sort of makes me sad. Other than that, though, like, it's still an improvement over what we have, so, you know, if this gets the update out of the door, then so be it.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with it too. I
And I
just
love the
I'm
extra
ready for
tabs.
them. Yes, the 15, we're going to move up to 15 bank tabs. So,
I am
yay.
so tired. Like, I'm always short on tabs. Like, most of my tabs are a combination of two tabs, really.
Me,
So,
yep, I do the same thing.
yeah. So
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to splitting those up.
Yeah, I definitely can't wait for that. So definitely a good progress there. And then we have a player support blog. You want to tell us about that, Sarah?
I will quickly skim to it, but yeah, basically, yes, it's a blog that they promised. So back in March, they promised to release a series of player support blogs, basically explaining how they deal with player requests and all that stuff, bug reports, lost accounts, all that stuff. This one talks about sort of their backend systems that they use. They use like a custom system to deal with all the queries. And it stems from the 2000s. Like, their system is almost 20 years old. They compare it to Windows XP and the Nokia 3210, if you remember those. That's how old their support systems are. So they are really in need of an upgrade. I can speak from experience that, like, these sort of non-user-facing interfaces and apps tend to get less love than user-facing stuff. So, you know, this is a theme in our industry. They've been working on getting it better and just making it faster to respond to users. Also looking into better ways for contact. They're even considering making a bot that you can talk about to for like basic question answering, I suppose. They give a bit of a preview of what I want to do, and in general, I think they just want to get better at dealing with player ban appeals and all that stuff, because there's a lot of frustration around that. If you hear like what people have to complain about, I think it's a big thing. It's like, when I do have a problem, Jagex doesn't listen, and this sort of aims to solve that. So yeah, it's a good read. They share some statistics. They share some of their technical stuff. It sort of gives the context of why it has been so bad. They promise more blog posts. I'm not sure, they do it somewhere at the end of the news posts. I can't find it right now, but there will be more of these blogs in the coming months.
Okay. Well, hopefully they'll flush a little bit more out with that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So next up, we have a special Informer article with our very own Sirion, and it's called Player Agency in Desperate Times. So
sounds very dramatic, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm. You definitely, definitely go and check that out. Like, rsbnb.com/informer. And I don't want you to spoil too much of it, Sirion, but I mean, you can give us a little something.
Yeah,
you
know? So originally I was gonna write about the Hunter rework, right? Because that's right up my alley. On like the types of updates that I find interesting and want to talk about. And then I did the quest and I was like, oh, there's something here that I need to talk about. And this blog post, this Informer article tries to explain why I'm a bit upset with the quest. There was a lot to like and a lot to dislike about the quests. I've heard lore people complaining about it. I've had other people. I've mostly heard the lore people complain about it, let's be honest. But for me, like, something else was wrong, and I won't spoil it. You should read it. But I definitely think it's worth sort of talking about this particular thing that I encountered. Because it sort of completely ruined the questing experience for me in the end. Which is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Which is quite a shame, because like after I had some time to think about it, like the second half of the quest wasn't actually that bad, but you know, I was so tied up in my frustration at what was going on that I sort of zoned out through the entire quest and just finished it, I got pretty upset at the end. So if that piqued your interest, informer.rsbnb.com. Player Agency in Desperate Times. Give it a read.
Awesome. Yeah. You've definitely piqued my interest, so we're definitely going to look into that. And wow. All right, so that does it for our RS news this week, but at this time, I like to sit back and give a little thanks to our special Patreon supporters, and we'll start with Arvids L, Brock H, Darren L, Diana, Kyle, Logan H, Solus Dad Evil, Tom V, and Zez. So thank you very much, guys, and gals, and we couldn't do what we do without you. And if you would like to be a Patreon supporter, you can go to patreon.com/rsbnb, and there you will be able to, you can do a dollar a month, and that will give you, you will receive a mention in our show notes, and early access to our show notes. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep. And sorry, I'm so used to Shane doing this, but, okay. For $3, you will receive a special VIP rank in our Discord, a special mention on the podcast at the start of the month, and a high quality AAC version of the podcast, in addition to all of the previous rewards. And for $5 a month, you will receive a shout out on the podcast every week, and exclusive access to the outtakes that we use for the clip show, in addition to all of the previous rewards available. So those are fun. If you like the clip show, you might want to get in on that. We have just met our $50 tier, so the way the tiers work is at 15, we unlocked the monthly bit, and then at 30, the inside RSBNB update was unlocked. So that is where we do a little let you get to know the production staff a little better. And I think Shane's maybe even given people a look at where the podcast is made. So that's at the $30 rank. And then at the $50 rank, which we just hit, we get to start the RSBNB roundtable. So stay tuned for information on when that is going to start. I'm really, really, really looking forward to that. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And if for some reason we were to ever hit the $99 tier, that would unlock movie night with Shane and Tana.
I live in Europe, but I would pull an all-nighter to be there, probably. Like, I'm looking forward to this.
Oh, it's going to be fun because, yes, there will be some Star Trek. Yes, there will be. And I'm a fan. But what Shane doesn't know is there's going to be Star Wars too. And if he gives me any crap, I'm going to make it a prequel. Yeah. Yeah, what do you think about
Episode one, the one we
Yes,
don't talk
Phantom
about.
Bit. It'll be the Phantom Shane because he's going to be like in the bathroom for the next 2 hours. You know? Where you at, Shane? Where'd you So with that, thank you guys, and we really, really appreciate it. So we have one listener question this week, and so this says at Shane and Tannis. So, Theron, you're
I'll
gonna fill in
pretend to
for
be
Shane right
Shane. I'll
there. You
pretend to be
pretend to be
Shane.
Shane. There you go.
Yeah.
And this is from Lynchpin. So, you never mention on the podcast, but what are you currently working on in RS? And so, I'm guessing they're referring to what our overarching goals is, because each week we'll talk about like what we've been doing, but we rarely talk about like what our end goals are that we're working towards. For me, it was comp, and then we got a lot of rework stuff going on, and I wasn't, so I kind of backed off of that because I didn't know where it was going to go. And I have been working on basically just gathering supplies, like I'm a squirrel saving up my nuts for wintertime or something. And I've been saving everything for a double XP weekend. Normally those our clan, well, one of the clans will do a pretty spectacular prize competition, XP competition on that. And so I'm literally saving up for, you know, until this comes around, probably next February. So that is my big overarching goal. How about you, Sirion?
Well, I can answer for Shane first because I know he's going for 120 wood cutting. So there you go. I can answer your question for Shane.
There.
Yeah. I hope I didn't spoil like a secret right now, but as what I'm going for, I've really sort of fallen into the casual player category. Like I tend to just do what I want to do. I do have some sort of goals. Like I want to get 150 dungeoneering quite badly. Like I want to have access to Last Resource Dungeon, not because it gives an achievement, but because it has to be modeled out more, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I've been working towards that. You know, I only really do daily dungeoneering challenges, so it's been pretty slow, but, you know, it's a lot of XP you get for completing one. So I'm trying to keep up with that, like doing at least daily challenges in the weekend, spending all my Viswex against it to... I don't actually extend my daily challenges. What I do is I do a daily challenge, and then I re-evolve because I'm maxed. I get to sort of do the same dungeoneering challenge twice. So that's a bit of a cheat there for you. It saves you half the Viswax if you want to double up on tasks. Yeah. Only works if you have less than, like, 4.99s left to go or something like that, I guess. And other than that, like, I tend to, like, when I don't know what to do, I tend to just go and look at the Master Quest Cape or comp list of requirements and pick something that's not absolutely awful to do. And then I go do that. So, yeah, that's sort of my goal. Maybe one day I'll get comp. Maybe. If they take out a bunch of the PVM requirements, then that's starting to look a lot more likely.
Well, luckily for you, yeah. I think you're going to get your wish.
Yeah, I would have rather had maybe something else, but I'll not open up that topic for discussion right now.
I don't think we got time for that one.
No,
but I'm sure it'll come around again. All right, so yeah, I mean, that's cool. I appreciate that casualness. Mm. That's one way you feel free, you know, like you get on the game and you just do what you want to do, and that feels so much more rewarding than, oh, I got to do this and I got to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you know? I've also like a few months ago, I stopped doing Treasure Hunter altogether because I noticed that like. Logging into the game every day to make sure I use my keys became a bit of an obsession at some point. And I wanted to get away from that. And ever since I sort of got away from having to do Treasure Hunt every day, like, I still try logging in every day to do ports, but, you know, if I don't feel like it, I can easily say, okay, I'm just not going to log in today then. Like, it feels that much easier to have that choice. And that has sort of extended to my entire gameplay. Like, I look at the requirements for comp, and like one of the thing, like it looks awful. And instead of going, oh, I want to get comp, I need to do something awful, I'm like, don't feel like it. I'm gonna go and do something else that I would enjoy. Like, it's gonna sound really sort of philosophical and deep, but ever since I got myself a day job and no longer have ends of, like, lots of time, like. Why would I choose to do something that I don't like doing in the limited free time I have, right? That's sort of how parts of RuneScape feel. Like, when I was doing Seiryu, because I still want to get my quest cape back, like, I was literally sat there, and afterwards was like, that was the least fun hour I've had in a long, long time. Why did I even do it? So that's sort of, that's sort of the trade-off I tend to make. And that's why I try to avoid having, like, really strict goals, because I just... I don't want to force myself into doing things that are not fun.
You know, and that is fair. That's why I, you know, doing what I'm doing is it leaves a lot of options for me, whatever I'm feeling that day, whether I'm collecting herbs that day, or I'm going to work on collecting charms, or I'm doing beans, or let's quit telling everyone my secrets now of how I'm going to crush it in the next double XP con. But you know, I know what you're saying, and it's good to be able to just do what you want when you're on.
Yeah, and it's so hard to lose sight of that if you're going for a goal like really, really hard.
Yeah, I remember being on the max grind, and and at the end of that, doing Hunter and the Jadingo Hunter, and just hating it, hating playing, but I had to play, you know, because I wanted it so bad. Yeah. And after that, I said, "Nah, we're not doing that. We're not doing that again."
Agreed.
So, if you have questions and would like us to answer them, you can send those in at rsbnb.com, or you can DM them at rsbnb on Twitter. And there's also a number you can phone it in at 571-57-BAND-B.
So. Pretty sure that's meant to say BNB, but why not?
Yeah, you know, B and B, whatever. Band B.
Band B. We should do music nights and do like Band B music nights.
There we go. Okay. So, what do we have for tech news this week, Sirion?
Tech news. Yes. We're gonna start with something positive, or rather. Valve was confused about the fact that the internet can be positive.
That confuses me.
As you might remember from a few weeks ago, the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris burned down, which was absolutely awful. Because the Assassin's Creed Unity has the Notre Dame Cathedral as a bit. Pretty big set piece, Ubisoft made the game available for free for a limited time, and then donated 500,000 euros, which is half a million euros, to help with the restoration. Players quite liked that, actually. And so a lot of players actually started getting Assassin's Creed Unity, and they started leaving positive comments on Steam. And so as you might know, like, there's a big problem on Steam around review bombing, where like a developer does something negative. Like Borderlands 2, for example, was a recent victim of this. When they announced that Borderlands 3 would be an Epic Games exclusive, Borderlands 2 all of a sudden got hit with lots of negative reviews, even though the game itself hasn't changed. So that's a review bomb. Assassin's Creed Unity sort of had the same thing happening, except for it was positive. So Valve was like, well, that doesn't fit with our definition of a review bomb, which by definition we added that it has to be negative reviews. So, you know, basically Valve sort of revealed like a really introspective blog post where they were like, we don't know what to do with this shit. So they're sort of trying to figure out, like, should we count these things as review bombs? And if so, should we count them as off topic? And I think the complication here is that, you know, you could call it a review bomb, but on the other hand, lots of genuine new players got the game. So a lot of players suddenly were added to the pool of people who are allowed to write a review. So it could also be a consequence of the growing player base. So yeah, the decision right now of Valve has to be to leave this in place as it is. Good for Assassin's Creed Unity, I guess, because better reviews lead to better sales. But it was very, very funny because the whole blog post of Valve is sort of like, we don't know what to do with this stuff. they reading the post, like, they look so unsure of themselves. Like, really funny. So yeah, that happened.
That's hilarious, really, because, I mean, we've been talking about review bombings. I mean, that's been a phenomenon going on for a few years now, and and they've tried different methods to try to curtail that, and here we have it going in the other direction now. Yeah. And, yeah, what do you do? Huh. Who knew?
Who knew that people could be nice? Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Cool. Less positive news. Nintendo is going to shut down games such as Animal Crossing and Fire Emblem on mobile in Belgium because they're afraid that the loot box law is going to cause trouble.
Hmm.
Did you see this coming?
I did, I am not sure that it's a bad thing yet, because I don't know if this will force innovation into a different pay model. Mobile games just really feel I'm not a fan of the just here, give us however much money and you're done. I don't know. I don't like the pay to win model in mobile right now.
I mean, sort of the situation we find ourselves in right now, right? Is Nintendo? Belgium is a really small country. Like, let's be honest, it has like 10 million people. It's nothing compared to like the bigger markets such as the United States or even France and Germany are like factors bigger than Belgium. You know, and Nintendo can easily say, you know what, like, just why bother? Like, just that's not released a game there. And I think they have upcoming release. It's not mentioned here. I forgot which one it was. Yeah, I forgot which game it was. It's not in this article, but like Nintendo is making a new one, and you know, people are wondering like, are they just gonna skip Belgium? Is Belgium just gonna not have any of these games? And you know, I feel the question becomes either how many game companies does it take for Belgium to revert the law, or how many countries does it take for game companies to change their practice? And comes first?
Yep, that's the key, because I feel like, you know, right now Belgium is like an island out there. But had they been able to bring the whole EU with them, we'd be talking about, I think, a different situation. One in which maybe they would be looking at a different model, you know, a different pay model.
Mm-hmm.
Which one's going to happen first?
Yeah, I mean, you already see like Rocket League, for example, has a loot box system, and I know that in the Netherlands they're no longer available. Like, they're completely blocked out of the game. So, you know, these game publishers do go to some length to still make it possible. Then again, to play Rocket League, you still have to pay the initial price, so there's still, like, money to be earned. If you look at a game like Animal Crossing and Fire Emblem, like, on a mobile phone, they're free apps you pick up. So, you know, if they have to block loot boxes from the game, there's no profit to be made for them. So,
well,
at that point, Nintendo is just making a statement like, get your shit together there in Belgium, otherwise we're not going to bother.
I mean, and that may be, look, I wouldn't be opposed to, to paying for a mobile game, not as much as I'd pay for a regular game, but I would pay, you know, I think that would be, that's an option. And I still don't think that there is any reason why these companies can't parcel out their items so that you can purchase them individually rather than bundling them in a box that you might not get anything out of.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should be able to buy what you want to buy. Cosmetically.
I mean, it's quite simple to explain, right? Like, How much are you willing to spend on, I don't know, a hat? Let's talk about hats because they used to be the collectible back in the Team Fortress days. It was all about hats, right? So let's say you're willing to put $2 down on a hat, right? That's fine. The company can earn $2 out of you. Now, let's say you can get a loot box for like 50 dollar cents, and there's a chance to get it. You'll probably end up spending more than those $2 trying to get that hat, psychologically. Because you are, yeah, like
Yeah, without a doubt, yeah.
it just works that way. So like, these companies can just get more value out of you by doing this, they're using this pattern. Like, it might be a terrible thing to do, but it's how they get money from you, so.
Right, and but I think you put it in perfect terms of how it's gambling. Like
It
that's
is.
gambling.
Yeah.
There's no way around it. Like
Yeah.
that's gambling.
It is. Absolutely is. Yeah, it's. I mean, people always have the argument like, it's not really gambling because you still get something for it. It might just not be the thing you want. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. It always feels like a lottery still,
Well,
because the item you might
that's
get might be useless, or it might be
yeah.
nothing. It might as well be nothing, that sort of the thing.
Well, no, you broke it down on how reality works, right? Like, and I just feel like that's double speak from a company saying, "No, we didn't game this out and know that you're going to pay
Oh, they
more and we're
absolutely
going to give
do.
you
I
nothing."
mean, they absolutely do.
I
And I think if you ask
mean,
them
yeah.
straight up, they say they absolutely do. Like, I don't think anybody doubts that they do this to get more money out of you. But
Yeah.
I mean, I do have to say though, like the Games World has said they wanted to self-regulate this. Like, there was this group of companies that would go together and come up with, and we never heard anything about that. So, I'm never a big fan of government interference, but this sham has taken long enough, right? Like.
Yeah, well, I'm much more tolerable of that because I feel like companies have one purpose and one purpose only, and that's to make money. And they cannot, it's impossible to regulate themselves. I'm not that naive. There's just absolutely no way they're going to do it. And I know the theory is, well, if they do something wrong and people won't buy it, yeah, they will. Like, no, you need a strong regulation when it comes to certain things that we all decide on through, I don't know,
I mean,
democratic means,
years ago we said like for years we've been saying like things like pre-orders are like they're really bad, right? You put money down for a game and you don't really know what you get for it, and like you sort of get coaxed into it by extra rewards, and like the whole pre-order culture is bad because
Oh yeah. I just No Man's Sky broke me of that shit.
yeah, and people still pre-order games. They still do. People will be stop continue being idiots. They will continue being idiots. So we can't really rely on that being the thing. I mean, let's be honest. EA sort of broke the loot boxes thing with players.
Yes, they did.
But they're
Yep.
still there. So, apparently didn't hurt enough.
No, and here's the thing, and the reason EA thought they this is why they thought they could do that. Where else are you going to go to get Star Wars? Where else are you going to go to get FIFA? You're not. They own it.
And that's the thing,
So,
like people are like, oh, it's the next Call of Duty. I don't care about what's in there. I want to play the latest Call of Duty. Like, yeah, people will keep buying that because it's Call of Duty. Like, the name is on it. Like, an indie developer could never get away with this shit. But like a AAA developer, people will buy the game anyway, and that is a problem, and it is not a problem I know how to fix.
Yeah, that's I don't I don't either. I know that the whole pre-sell stuff was had more to do with physical copies, and now we don't even deal with that anymore. So there should be no, I mean, pre-order shouldn't even be a thing at this point, because there's no reason. You're not standing in line at GameStop at midnight. No. I've done that 10 years ago. You know, it's just not how gaming really works nowadays.
And like, people buy games based on cinematic trailers and a title. Like, that scares me.
It's just some cutscene, and you have no idea what the game looks like. I hate that. It drives me crazy, because I'm like, but I need to be able to see gameplay so that I know if I'll even have a chance of being able to play it.
I don't buy games anymore before watching a review. Like, I always watch reviews. Like, I don't know how I would ever. There's maybe a select few games I would pre-order, because that developer has built up so much goodwill, but, you know, there are far and few between, and even then I would think twice and be really careful. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess let's hope that more countries follow suit with Belgium, because otherwise this is not going to go anywhere.
Right, all right. Well, I hope we can at least leave off on a positive note. Can we do that?
Which is?
Do we have a positive tech story?
We have positive tech stories.
Ooh!
Do you want to go to Mars?
I would love to go to Mars.
Well, you can get a free ticket to Mars.
Ooh! Do tell.
Yes. So, NASA has opened up the registration on their website, where you can submit your name, your country, your postcode, and your email address. And, they will engrave your name into a bit of metal. It will be really tiny. You'll probably need a microscope to read it. But your name will be on a piece of metal that will go to Mars on the next rover.
That's so cool.
And
we will be on Mars forever.
You will get a symbolic ticket to Mars sent to you over email that you can print.
What?
And you can go and show everybody you've been to Mars. Or, yeah, whatever you want, really.
That's kind of the coolest. Oh, wow.
Yeah. It actually says how large your name will be. They will use an electron beam to stencil the submitted names onto a silicon chips with lines of text smaller than 1,000 the width of a human hair.
Oh, that's so neat.
At that size, more than 1 million names can be written on a single dime-sized microchip.
Oh, wow.
Or chips will ride on the rover under a glass cover.
Oh, that's so cool. Mm-hmm. Can you think of, like, if an alien comes along and finds that someday?
Yeah.
It's like, what's this?
Who are all these people, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the link will be in the show notes. I mean, everybody should just go and sign up, I think. Maybe we should send RSVNV update to the Mars as well.
I think we should. I mean, if we're not there, I mean, come on.
Yeah. Like,
what are we doing with our lives?
So this rover will take off in 2020. So you have until the end of September this year to submit your name. Go and do that. Let's send a good representation to Mars from our game community.
Dude, I'm signing up tonight.
Yeah, I know, right?
Tonight.
Your name will then touch down in February 2021 if it doesn't disintegrate, but you know.
Oh, you know.
Mars landings have like a 50% success rate, so.
Well, we were lucky last time.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
that's a bit of cool news, and you know, I found that, like, in the last 2 years, like, there's been so much amazing space news coming out. Like, things are really taking off again with, like, the commercial launches and all that stuff.
Thank goodness, too.
It is so much good stuff to nerd out. Not only to nerd out about, but, like, it's it's so good for like scientific progress as well. We've seen back in the Cold War era how fast these things can go when people put their minds to it. And people have put their minds to it. Like, I expect that we will see some massive breakthroughs in the next decade already.
I'm looking forward. I mean, I'm looking very, very forward to that, because something that I always try to tell people, when they, poo-poo space program, how much it costs, I'm like, but do you understand how many things that you use every day has came out of that? And like,
Microwaves is the big one.
smoke detectors.
Paper clips.
I mean, oh gosh, well, Velcro, right? That
Yeah,
was
Velcro.
that,
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah, yeah.
Just
That's a space one as well. Yeah.
like all of this stuff. if we hadn't went in space, you wouldn't have a cell phone, right? And you'd be lost, wondering, looking at like an old school map, trying to figure out what tiny line was going where. Like, good luck.
It's I think it's like it's great, and I love seeing this stuff. It's also it's one of the few things that make me be very optimistic about like what we do as sort of the wider humanity. Like, there's people who really care about this stuff and want to do good stuff. It's really inspirational as well. So,
And at the very least, when our, planet is just a burning ash heap, we'll at least be able to get the hell out of here.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Because everything's on fire. We gotta go. So yeah, so well, so there we have it, right?
We'll be going to Mars.
We'll be going to Mars. Okay. Well, I guess we'll just we're left to moving on to other things, and maybe not quite such important things, but we do have a skill of the month going on, and I'm going to give an update for what it's worth right now. So I am actually in the lead with 3.7 mil.
Oh, it actually finished, right?
Oh, is it finished?
Yeah, it
Yes.
finished.
Yeah, it's finished. Okay, it's finished. So this is where we ended up at. So I ended up with 3.7 mil Slayer, Jam and D 52 with 1.3, and Parnassius with 789K. So yeah, that was, I mean, it was fun. I think we all kind of fell off at the end there. But I mean, you get busy, and I liked this setup much better personally than I did the whole entire 30 days. I liked the 10 days a lot better. It fit me better. So yeah. So good job, everybody. And sign up for the next one. That should be, well, quite frankly, I don't know. So, but I'm sure if you poke around the website, you'll find sign-up place.
Isn't the URL like ISBNB slash SK to no, it's broken.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Shane. We broke it here. We made it pretty far, but we broke the skill of the month broke us. I don't know.
We'll go and harass Shane, and we'll give an update next week.
Yes. So we do have some achievements of the week this week. So I'll start us off with a Takis Fuego. Got 99 divination on May 22nd. Twisted Soul with 99 farming on May 22nd. Daydreamer with 99 cooking on May 22nd. And Magic King with 99 hunter on May 22nd. I suspect we're going to see a lot of those coming over the next few weeks.
Dodging the bullet there, yeah. Dr. Rowe, is that how you pronounce that? DRRO, got 99 hit points or constitution, depending on what era of RuneScape you are from, on May 20. Twisted Soul got 99 strength on May 19th. Wolfie got 120 Slayer on May 18th. That's a big one. Then we have two achievements on May 17th. We have Quest Caping getting 99 Dungeoneering, and Takis Fuego getting 99 Runecrafting. Well done, everyone.
Nice achievements. Well done. So, I have been waiting for this for a long time. I have a special pick of the week that Shane is not here to stop me. So, this week, I want to encourage everyone to go out and try Star Wars, The Old Republic. It's actually a really fun game. It's EA and BioWare, and it's been around since 2011, I think now. So it's pretty fleshed out, and it's actually really good. And it's canon with Star Wars canon. It's all real. So it's all part of the universe.
It's
And
like the Star Trek Online of Star Wars, right?
exactly. And there are several classes. Several races, but races don't really mean much in any of these games. But the classes do, and they all have a different story and a storyline, and that is the thing that makes this game really, really good. It's the storyline is just incredible. Even on the basic, even without any DLC or anything like that, just your basic class storylines are really, really good. So it's free to play. You can just go there, make an account, and start right up. You can, you can be anything from a Sith to a Jedi to a Republic trooper to
A
a
Wookiee.
smuggler to. I don't think you got Wookiees might be a companion, actually. I'm still working my way through the storylines. Yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it? yeah, that'd be good.
Wookiee campaign.
You got it. I mean, Wookiee's your companion, right? Especially if you're a smuggler, you got to have that Wookiee with you.
Right. Do
Yeah,
you have
so
canteens with bands?
yes,
Good.
there are of course you have to have the canteens and different ones, different planets and all that. What I think is one of the really cool things about Star Wars: The Old Republic is that so it's free to play. But if you at any time get 1 month of membership, I think it's like $15, right? 1 month of membership will unlock all of the expansions and everything up until that time, right? You could cancel it after that, and you'll go to what is called a preferred tier, which means you keep all of that stuff and you get, a higher limit on like how much credits you can have in your bank and just little stuff like that, but it makes you a preferred player, so it's like a tier up, and you don't have to continue paying for that or anything. So it's if you're a Star Wars fan, man, try it out. I have tried this game before and I loved it, but I had a lot of trouble with the controls, and last couple weeks I just sat down and made myself kind of learn it, and I love the game now. So take that. Sorry, Shane, but you couldn't stop me. So may the force be with you. Sign up for Star
That's awesome.
Wars.
So, what have you been up to?
So this week I haven't been able to play hardly at all. So just because busy with just business and life and stuff. But what little time I have had, I've went to my play around dungeon and just did a few Slayer tasks. So that has been the extent of my RS play right now. I mean, I did go and check out the dig site because I mean, I had to go check out the dig site, but yeah, other than that, like as for just fun stuff, yeah, just Slayer. So
That's still more than me. I barely played as well. I definitely checked out the dig site. I played Desperate Times. You can read my experiences on informer.rsbnb.com on how that went. I haven't even been doing any dungeoneering. I've just been sort of strolling around, cleaning out my bank, chilling. That's it, really.
Nice, nice. Well, with that, I want to thank everybody for listening and let you know that we will be back next week. Shane will still be gone. I don't know if he's going to come back. I think he is. Yeah, he might be on a fishing boat in the middle of the Bering Sea for all I know. You know,
I mean,
hey,
if you really like us as a duo and you want Shane to never come back, you have a week to come up with a good plan and send it to us as a question, and we'll discuss the pros and cons of the show.
Right on. So, well, there you go. That's how to handle that. And yeah, until next week. So long, and have a great week.
See you guys.